What I'd like to talk about today is, in addressing this particular question, what time is it? And I don't mean 12 o'clock on such and such a date and so on, but in fact, how old is the Earth? How old is the universe? Now, I'm going to warn you before I do this that, as is kind of typical of evolutionists, what is typical of scientists, you are guinea pigs. I am doing an experiment here. I haven't done this presentation before. This is a brand new one. It may flop, so I might never do it again. But this is a difficult topic for a variety of reasons. I've always had a challenging time addressing this particular question. And what I want to focus on, partly because it's so huge, I spend several weeks on it in my Origins class. What I want to do is introduce you to some of the philosophy behind the question. Beginning with the claim, the age of most things is not determined directly. There are some things we measure the age of directly by observation. We see it when it comes into existence. We know it. We see it now. We actually measure the time during which it exists, and we thus have a direct measure of the age of some things. But actually, most things we haven't directly measured the age of. We infer the age indirectly. For example, we accept testimony about the age of things. We come up to people and we don't necessarily measure their particular age, but we might ask how old you are, and we usually accept their testimony. Unless we hear too many 29s or something like that, we accept the testimony of others as to the age of something. But most things, we actually infer the age by using a process of origin. We assume something about the origin of that entity, and we then measure the amount of time that that process of origin would take, and it's in that way that we infer the age of things. This actually is the most common means by which we measure the age of things we don't directly observe. Now, there are some problems with inferring age from, let's say, testimony. There are some challenges. First of all, we have to ask the question, does the testifier really know? If we ask somebody, how old is that house on the corner, if it turns out that they do not have a lifetime that extends as far back as the house does, then they're not reliable as an eyewitness testifier. They might tell you what they think the age of the house is, but they didn't actually observe it. So you first have to know whether the testifier is capable of knowing the real age. Secondly, we have to ask the question, the skeptics among us, whether the testifier is in fact deceptive. Are they telling you the truth? Do they know the age, but they are deceiving you on purpose as to the age of things? For example, how old are you? 29. That's interesting. You've got gray hair at 29. Is the testifier deceptive? We also need to know whether the testimony is clear. In this sense, we might run into situations where people tell us the answer, but in a riddle, because they don't want to give the information directly. Or perhaps they do it in a parable or in an analogous fashion. And we're not entirely sure we've interpreted their testimony correctly. We have to understand the nature of the testimony. Also, we need to ask whether the testimony is accurate. And I don't mean here whether they've made mistakes, although I guess we could ask that question as well. But if we have, let's say, the eyewitness testimony written down or reported upon by the media, has the testimony been accurately given to us? When you see the testimony in the media, can you believe it? No. And we have, these are questions we have to concern ourselves with when we get information on the age of things from testimony. And of course, we also have uncertainties in inferring the age from a process of origin. For example, if you're trying to determine the age of something by assuming something about how it came to be, well, a big question is going to be, did you properly understand how that thing came to be? If you use the wrong process, to infer how that thing came to be, then it's very likely you won't get the right answer on how old it really is. Likewise, not only must you have the proper process invoked for the origin of something, but you also must be putting the right numbers on it as far as how fast that process occurred. I'll give you a couple of examples of these things a bit later, if there's any confusion at this point. And then finally, if the age you infer on something, which comes from testimony, conflicts with the age that you get by inferring process, how do you make a decision between among those alternatives? When you get to the age of the earth and the age of the universe, we have a few pickles, kind of special challenges. Turns out it's extremely difficult to determine the age of the earth and the age of the universe. Perhaps there's an obvious reason why, to start with. Both of them are pretty old, at least relative to our ages. So none of us were there, so we can't use direct testimony in that sense of the word. And we have to infer process of origin of the earth and process of origin of the universe, studying awful big things, and we're puny, scrawny little people that probably don't have a very good idea about the origin of things. So we have some challenges here. Also, and this is kind of cool, actually. It's discouraging in one sense, but interesting in another. In order to answer these questions, you directly walk right into worldview challenges and problems. I'll give you some examples. For example, in the age of the earth and the universe, how about what kind of testimonial evidence would we have of the age of the universe? I know of only one possible testimonial evidence of the age of the universe, the only person who was there, writing it down in the Word of God. The only person who was there is God. If he did, in fact, write it down, and it is preserved in our scripture, then we have eyewitness testimony of the origin of things. The problem is, and here's where the worldview issues come into play, does the testifier really know how old the universe is? And what I mean by this is there's a whole bunch of people in the world, most of them, who don't believe that the Bible is the word of the God who was there. So obviously, if they don't believe this is a testimony of someone who is actually there, then they're going to reject the scripture as testimony, as evidence of the age of things. Worldview clash right away. Secondly, even if they do believe that God was there, do they in fact accept the possibility that God was telling us the truth? Maybe he is deceiving us. Some people believe in a God that was there, but who has been deceiving us and keeping us from that kind of information. Thirdly, is the testimony clear? Was God, when he gave us that information in Scripture, acting in perspicuity, in clarity? Did he intend to pass the information on clearly, or did he put it in parable? Did he put it in myth? Did he put it in poetry? And if so, then how are we to understand that testimony if it is not straightforward? And of course you recognize, all of you recognize, that people take various positions on whether, for example, Genesis is historical narrative, perspicuous, or whether in fact it is poetry, it is analogy, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, is the testimony accurate? Here you get into the question of whether the scripture, even if you accept the fact that there might have been the original scripture was authoritative and correct, has it been passed on over the thousands of years that have elapsed since its writing in such a way that we now have an accurate representation of that testimony? And as you know, there are people who accept various positions on this. There are some who say that God has intervened and kept the scripture miraculously accurate through time. There are others who reject that claim. So clearly, people with different worldviews are going to accept or reject the testimony of the age of things from scripture. Turning to inferring the age of the universe from process, and this is what science would largely do, we still have problems. When we infer the age of the universe based upon a process, have we properly understood how the universe came to be. Is there a difference in the way the universe came to be if God spoke the universe into being versus the universe came about by natural law and process? If there is a difference, then we have a very different answer to this question. If we have not properly understood the origin of things, how are we going to accurately determine the age of things? Secondly, even if we did have the right process, are we confident that we have properly analyzed the rate at which that process occurred? Could God have used a process in the creation which he accelerated because of his ability in such a way that if you use modern rates for that process, we're going to miscalculate the age of things? And again, one's position, one's worldview on the mode of origin and tempo, mode and tempo of the origin of the universe, going to make very different answers to these questions. And finally, if we have an age of the universe inferred from testimony which conflicts with the age of the universe inferred from science, how in the world, what are we going to do with that? Which one do we choose? Or do we choose either one? Going back to the age of the universe inferred from Scripture and these questions, conservative Christians might tend to answer these questions in these ways. Does the testifier really know? Yes. Most conservative Christians would say God was there at the beginning and he really does know how old things are. Again, that's a worldview-dependent position, but conservative Christians would tend to say that. Is the testifier deceptive? They would tend to say no. God is not deceptive. Three, is the testimony clear? Conservative Christians would tend to say that God speaks and spoke and wrote in perspicuity, in clarity. He intended the scripture to be understood straightforwardly. Conservative Christians would believe that the Genesis is a historical narrative, therefore to be taken as it is written. And lastly, is the testimony accurate? Has it been properly preserved through time? Again, conservative scholars would tend to say it has been miraculously preserved through time. So they would tend to answer it in this fashion. And if that is what you would say as an answer to these questions, then you would conclude from the testimony of the scripture that in fact the earth and universe is very young. I'm not going to go through all the arguments. There are many of them. You have to deal with how long the days are, whether there are gaps in the genealogies, and it goes on and on and on. But I think if you answered the previous questions the way I suggested, the conclusion you would come to is, in fact, the earth and universe is only thousands of years old. That's what I mean by young. It's only thousands of years old, in contrast to other positions that say it's billions of years old. What about science? Science would argue that they have properly understood the mode of origin of things. They're usually audacious enough to say that, and that they have inferred the proper rate of that origin. And of course, they're inferring an origin of the universe that does not involve supernatural intervention. For the most part, secular scientists assume that there is no supernatural intervention, so their mode of origin does not involve a creator. That's extremely important. You have to understand that every inference of age made by a scientist, a secular scientist, assumes no supernatural intervention in that process. It's extremely important you understand that. And every age is dependent upon that. So science arrives at the conclusion that the earth and universe is very old. And so, oversimplifying for the moment, for our purposes, an age of the universe inferred from the eyewitness testimony of Scripture indicates the earth and universe is young, thousands of years old. The evidence from science inferred from process suggests that the universe is old, billions of years old. No small difference now. It's very important that you understand this is not just a little itty-bitty miss. For every year that creationists say the Earth is, the young age creationists say the Earth is, it's a million years for the old Earther. The difference between thousands and billions is 1,000,000-fold. It's a big difference. Okay? If you are in a contest with someone else with a bow and arrow, and you were in a distance contest to see who could shoot the arrow the farthest, and a goal was 100 meters away, let's say, the length of a football field away. And your friend over there pulled back the bow, and whew, he's representing the scientist there, the old age creationist or the old age scientist. His arrow goes flying through the air and gets very close to the 100 meter mark. You pull your bow back, let's say, and you're representing the young universe position. You pull your bow back and let that thing fly, and it lands smack dab through the middle of your toenail. You have gone a millimeter. You've gone that far, and they've got 100. It's a big difference. This is not small. It's not an insignificant difference. So now we have an apparent conflict. How are we to understand the age of the earth and the universe in the light of this conflict between these two positions? Now let me give you some examples of some of the... I'm kind of assuming that y'all have heard many of the arguments on the theological arena, the age of the earth and universe thrown back and forth. You're probably less familiar with the scientist perspective on the age of things. So I'm going to do some of that to show you something about them. There are two arguments that are probably the strongest and most persuasive for the general population and for scientists to argue that the earth and universe are in fact billions of years old. One of them has to do with light travel times. We have objects in this universe. The universe is big, very, very big. It is billions of light years in diameter. There are objects that are billions of light years away from us, which is to say that light traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, can go around the earth seven times in 1 second, that light traveling at that speed would require billions of years to get here from those stars, from those galaxies. So that's a long ways away. The universe is huge, but if the universe is only thousands of years old, there hasn't been enough time for the light to get here from those extremely distant stars, a million times over. So it must be that the universe is billions of years old to allow the light to get to us. That's basically how the argument goes. First question, is this the proper mode of origin? Have we properly assessed how the light got here? Did it leave from those stars and make its way between the stars and us? Is it possible that God created the light in transit, that it never did cross the path between the star and us? And of course, the answer that is usually given to this is absolutely not. This cannot be so. Why? Because if it's true that God created the light in transit, then we're seeing light that was created 6,000 light years away from us, and that's still a long ways away from the star. So for example, when we see a supernova, an exploding star, say you turned your telescopes tonight out into space, and you say, look, a supernova, wasn't there yesterday, an event occurred. Well, actually, you're seeing a videotape of an event, the light from a videotape from an event that was created, if you believe the universe is, let's say, 6,000 years old, that was created 6,000 light years away, but the event was way beyond that. So actually, the event never occurred. This would require God to have created videotapes of events that never happened. Exploding stars, evidence in light of exploding stars, events that never occurred. And they would argue that that would be deception. So believers will argue that there's no way that the light could have been created in transit. This isn't, I'm not even arguing from the point of view of unbelievers. Believers will say there's no way that God would do this because it would require him to create videotapes of events that never occurred, and that would be deception. Oops. Is it deception? When Jesus Christ created the wine at Cana, how old was the wine at Cana? obviously is just a few seconds old. Yet, if you were to examine the wine and you were to ask somebody how old the wine was, in fact, the governor of the feast receiving the wine said to the bridegroom, "Hey, you've kept this wine for 3 days from the beginning of the feast." He thinks it's at least 3 days old. If you'd asked him more carefully, he'd probably have said, "Well, you know, there were grapes on the vine. It was taken off the vine. It was stamped. It was stomped out, and you created the grape juice, and so on and so forth." He would have inferred a great age for the wine compared to a few seconds or minutes. Certainly great. And he was wrong, of course. He was completely wrong because he assumed that God didn't intervene in the process. Was Jesus Christ being deceptive in creating a wine that looked old? It looked like it went through, it looked like it was made from grapes when it never was made from grapes. How about the lame man who gets up and walks? When did he learn how to walk? You would infer that since everyone else learns how to walk, right? That he must have learned how to walk. But a lame man, lame from birth, never learned how to walk. And he gets up. How did he do that? We would infer it would have taken a while to learn this, but it didn't. God somehow created the ability, the knowledge of how to walk, and the coordination in his cerebellum, to actually coordinate that. Oh, amazing stuff. All like that. So was it deception to create in the lame man the ability to walk when he never learned that? What about the bread that was broken from the lunch of the little boy and spread out to 4,000 in one case, 5,000 in another case? People, when you received that little piece of bread, was it from dough that rose? Did it ever rise? And worse yet, when you received the fish, did that fish ever swim? Were there any cells in that fish which were ever part of a fish that ever swam?
I don't know. I worked on this one. I don't understand.
This one, I love it, but I have no clue. Is it deception for Jesus Christ to create a fish for your lunch that never swam? That never was a fish? Is it really a fish? It's like the tree fell in the forest kind of thing. I don't know. Is it deception? It can't be deception because Jesus Christ is not a deceiver. So somehow all of these things must be possible without God actually being a deceiver in the process. So is it deception for God to create things a short time ago that look old? I would suggest there's biblical precedent for saying that no, that's not deception. Not that I do understand what in the world it means to create a videotape of a star exploding that never exploded. I don't know what, but I also don't know about that fish thing. On the other hand, I ask this question: is it deception to create things a long time ago and to say it was a short time ago? If the eyewitness testimony that we understand as eyewitness testimony indicates the earth and the universe is young, then is it deception for him to suggest by his word that things are young and yet they're really old? Yeah, I suppose we could probably argue for many, many years about these two questions, but you realize that if you accept the earth is young, you're going to get into this deception problem. Why some people are going to argue that it is deception. If you argue that the universe is old, you're also going to get into the deception problem. This is fun. I'm not a philosopher, so I'll let someone else answer that question. Is this the proper mode of origin? Could it have been created in transit? I'm not so sure that's eliminated as a possibility, but our questions continue. Is the light travel time issue, have we properly evaluated the rate for this process? The light leaves the star, comes to us. What do we assume in the process? Several things we assume. We assume that space is more or less flat, Euclidean, between there and here. If you have a piece of paper, two opposite corners on the piece of paper have a certain distance away from each other. If I was to say, what's the minimum distance between the corners of that piece of paper, you would probably draw a straight line if you're real mathematically inclined. You would draw a straight line between them and measure the length of that straight line. You say that's the least possible distance between those two points on that paper. That's true if the paper is flat. But if you roll the paper over and touch the two corners together, there is zero distance between those two points. In the third dimension, you can actually have zero distance between the two points that have a very great distance in two dimensions. That's an analogy for the three-dimensional situation of space, where in the fourth dimension, you could bend space around and have zero distance between two points that are, in fact, billions of light years away from one another. That's curved space, not flat, okay? And you say, well, that's weird. Surely no one believes something silly like that. Well, actually, if you're a sci-fi freak and you like Star Trek, Next Generation, and so on, and Deep Space Nine, the gates that open up and you go in, those are fourth-dimensional curvatures in three-dimensional space that put you from one place in the universe to billions of light years away. That's what those things are. If you've heard of white holes, wormholes, strings, all of these things in physics, if you've ever played around in that horrible field, those are all fourth-dimensional distortions. We know that space isn't flat. Einstein demonstrated that, and the eclipse in 1919 showed that space wasn't flat. But we kind of assume that it's close to flat. But how do we know? It could be really bent. In which case, our assumptions about the travel times of light would be wrong if it really is significantly bent. We also assume a constant speed of light. What has been the speed of light through time? Oh dear, I've already run out of time. We don't know. Is the universe isotropic? We have to assume that there's an even distribution of matter in the space, but we don't know the answer to that. Scientists say they do, and if, in fact, they're right about those things, then it determines the speed of light. The universe must be old, but we really don't know. Radioactive decay, have we properly understood the origin of these things? We assume there's no argon in new lavas, but there is. We assume increasing age with depth. That seems to be true. Polonium radio halos are explained, but actually they're not. Isochrons come only from aging. We have evidence that they don't. Have we properly determined the rate of radioactive decay? Actually, we get different results with different methods. So we have some reason to question the assumptions that go into radioactive decay. So the age of the universe according to the Earth and the universe according to Scripture seems to indicate the Earth is young. Light travel time seems to indicate it's old, but I wouldn't say it's definitive. There's always a way out. Radiometry suggests the Earth is old, but there are a number of nagging problems that would suggest this is not a definitive argument for the antiquity of the Earth. Sodium into oceans suggests the Earth is not greater than 100 million years old. Magnetic field of the Earth indicates the Earth's magnetic field, and the oldest rocks on Earth are only thousands of years old. So here we go. We're starting, as we go through many different methods, and these are only a few, we begin to see there are some methods which seem to argue strongly for youth. There are other methods that seem to argue strongly for antiquity. We're struggling back and forth. What is the age of the Earth and the universe? Ultimately, it comes down to a question of which one or which set of these you wish to believe. Where I stand is on that top one up there. I do believe that based upon the nature of God, that the testimony in Genesis is his perspicuous account, his clear historical narrative of the origin of things. It is to be understood as being given to us, among other things, to give us information on when the universe was created. And that account indicates the Earth and universe is only thousands of years old. And regardless of what science might infer about the origin of things, the Earth and universe is very old. We learn from the Cana wine incident, Anytime a human being picks up something created by God and assumes that God did not intervene in its origin, he or she will always conclude it is older than it really is. Because anytime you infer the age of something, aside from direct testimony, you must infer a process of origin, process that's going to require time to occur, which God doesn't need to use. Therefore, you pick up anything created by God and assume God didn't create it, you will always overestimate the age quite considerably. So I stand on the scriptural claim that the earth and the universe are very young. Thank you.